It's Tuesday, 10th of July, and you're listening to the Game Green Greencast, your guide to the world of gaming news from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cal.
Good evening.
Nikki.
Hello.
And Catty.
Hello.
With the promise of Hamiltonius turning up later. This is the live streamcast, because Psychopathic, our usual streamer, is on holiday in Spain, where I'm assuming it's just as sunny as it is in the UK at the moment. So he's literally getting nothing except for different accents to what he usually would over here. And Spanish food.
And cheaper margaritas.
Nikki is currently streaming Insurgency on the Twitch channel. So if you're live watching us, watching him play that and listen to us record, welcome. If you're listening to the recording, then you're missing out. Today we've got a few things to talk about, one quite meaty one, but first we'll go into what's everyone been doing this week. Cal.
Well, what I should have done and sort of talked about last week was my time playing the Battlefield 5 alpha, which I completely, for some stupid luckily reason, I completely forgot. So following on from last week, I played a lot of the Battlefield 5 alpha, and I very much enjoyed it. There's a lot of changes here and there that people may not like, but it is really all for the better. Like, a lot of the complaints I found with Battlefield 1 and like especially 3 and 4 as well, you'll do like a conquest mode, or you'll do like an operation from Battlefield 1, and it'd always be that massive surge where either the opposing team has got like 500, 600 tickets and you're down to like 50 or 60. You just completely get wiped out. There's very little times where it was very close calls, you know, it's about 50 tickets per team, or, you know, very, very close calls. And I haven't found that in a Battlefield game since like Bad Company 2. So to play Battlefield 5 Alpha and try it out, every game was really close. There was loads of moments where it came to the point where it was like literally like two tickets left. And you're like, oh, just won it, or you just win it. It's really good. I know there's going to be people bitch about the whole customization, female soldiers, malarkey. Couldn't care less. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the gameplay. And has Battlefield ever been realistic? No. So get rid of your stupid idiocy that people have. Gameplay-wise, there's a lot of changes in it, which I liked, but also didn't like. Because they changed the spotting. There's no more 3D spotting. There's no more, like with Battlefield Bad Company or Battlefield Battlefield 1 especially. There's no more randomly smashing the spot key and highlighting everyone on the map, or doing this and doing that, or the snipers in the distance, or quickly highlight them. It's all about knowing where to look, where the enemy's coming from, and when you do use the 3D spotting, you sort of spot where they are, sort of the vicinity. I mean, a good example we've seen with Nikki playing Insurgency, it's been a lot more tactical, a lot more serious, and a bit more, not realistic in historically, because it never will be, but in the sense of gameplay, you have to be a bit more strategic. You have to work with your squads, you have to work with your teams, and you get a lot more rewarded by sticking with your squad.
So see? Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times in like the previous Battlefield, you could just run through and charge in and go mental. You could still do that, but you get screwed over very quickly. So much so. And they're definitely focusing on more squad play. And I'm eager to... Well, it was a little dodgy, the alpha, but I'm eager to try out hopefully an open beta and its final release. The Grand Operations is really good as well. So I'm happy. And no more behemoths. Good. Because the behemoths got really annoying about it all. But this week, though, I have nothing else, really, to be fair. I've been plodding along, sorting and packing. Yeah, fun times.
You're packing fun times.
Packing lots of fun times.
Okay, Nikki, what have you been playing other than, obviously, Insurgency?
Yeah, I've been playing a fair bit of Insurgency because I'm kind of getting myself slightly excited for Insurgency Sandstorm whenever that comes out.
That looks good.
I need to pick a class. Let's go with Sniper, because why not? What have I been playing? Oh, jeez. Oh, gosh. Oh, geez. Neo and Sea of Thieves, and honestly, not much else to report than normal. Still slowly cracking my way through Neo. Still very bad at it. I'm getting better. I should give myself some credit. And Sea of Thieves is just always a lot of fun. New event starts this Thursday, so I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Yeah. Not much else to report, really.
How have you been enjoying Insurgency?
I mean, where are we? We're at, like, 20 hours total in Insurgency. not including the time I spent playing the mod, though. I spent a lot of time, I should probably duck, I'd say probably at least 40 hours in the mod version. Insurgency gives me something that I don't get from, like, Battlefield or Destiny, so I just, I'm very excited for the new one because vehicles and new weaponry and just so much. And this map's actually one of my favourite, but I'll probably horrendously fail.
Have you played Day of Infamy?
Yes. Day of Infamy and there was another one and I can't remember, but yeah, the sort of, I wouldn't know what to call them, but essentially the PvP FPS games in which you kind of one hit kill sort of thing.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of those.
Red Orchard and Rising Storm are another two good games.
Yes.
Yeah, they're two good ones. When you don't want to play around with the shitty, the nubs are running around, guns, shooters, you want to focus and you want to be, like, tactical, play Insurgency and Day of Infamy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let's also ignore the fact that how badly my reaction time was there trying to draw my pistol.
Oh, that was something quite spectacular.
But no, I'm also... My gaming will pick up a little bit this week because Captain Toad on Switch comes out on Friday and I'm going to buy it because it's adorable.
You mean the re-release of the Wii U game?
Yes.
Well, that's the best market for the Switch, isn't it? The Wii U failed, so why don't you port over the best titles from the Wii U to the Switch? Makes sense.
I'm sure they prettied it up a bit. Katie, what have you been up to?
I have been mostly playing The Crew 2. I've been putting actually a lot of time into that game this past week. And I'm really enjoying it, but I have no idea how I'm going to review it. Because if I review it as a racing game, it's awful. It's probably one of the worst racing games I've ever played. If I review it as just a driving game, though, just as a get in a car and drive around a very small but very well-designed version of America, then it's one of the best games I've played this year. It's just the racing... I've worked out... There's, in every race, there is one AI who is just going to win if you don't. But they are guaranteed, predestined, no matter what you do, they are just better than every other person, every other AI in that race. And I've worked out why that is. They're the only one that, like, when they go round corners and things, they don't need to brake. They are just propelled around the corner. I was doing a Harley-Davidson race, and this AI was going full speed round corners and ramming into walls, which slows everyone else down. But they were actually accelerating going round this, going like, literally mounting a wall and accelerating still. So it was very satisfying when I still beat them.
That sounds really broken.
See, it really is. And I noticed that in the beta, so it wasn't just me.
No, the game also has a massive rubber banding problem. I can get 10, 15 seconds ahead. And if I don't hit one corner perfectly, then the AI will write up my arse again. As if I had not made up 15 seconds. And that's all of them. But Yeah, it's a bit weird. They also don't accelerate fully. They, because when you're going at the start of races, you can basically always guarantee you're going to overtake everyone there if it's a straight line, because they kind of get to like 80% of how fast they can go and then just stop. And it's really weird. I don't know why they've chosen to go with a one AI who is just God mode over just letting everyone accelerate properly. But if you take out the races when you're racing against other people, so the time trials and the stunt races and things, they're really good fun. I've been playing a lot of the monster truck ones, and it's basically you get in a monster truck and there's just ramps and loop-de-loops, and it's basically a GTA like stunt race kind of thing. And you just go around and do tricks and earn points, and that's like where I've had a lot of my fun recently in that game. Just the race is just, yeah, it's not a good racing game, but it's a fantastic driving game, even if the physics are not realistic in the slightest. Past that, I played a little bit of Warframe, but by a little bit, I played an hour, and then the game told me to stop playing because I'd
Oh,
played an
yeah.
hour. So I thought, well, okay, fine. Don't want me to play, I will just stop playing. I'll go back to that and do some more probably.
I really enjoyed Warframe. I still jump into it every now and again. Plus, it's
And
like.
Harry Potter has been very slow this week. I talked to where I'd left off. We had just taken on the Cursed Vault of Year 2. I'm now in
Yes.
year three. At the end of year two, Dumbledore gave me a telling off and told me to not go after any more cursed vaults. The first thing that happened in second year was a boggart shows up, and everyone's like, well, we're just going to go find these cursed vaults then. So, yeah, business
When has
as
anyone
usual.
ever listened to what Dumbledore has to say?
Did he shout at you, but it said in the book he said it calmly?
No, he said he was disappointed in me and then gave me 100 house points, so mixed
That sounds
messages
about
there.
right. That's just like the end of every film.
Favoritism.
It basically.
Right, a wild Hamiltonius has appeared, so let's move on to you. What have you been doing this week?
Aside from the usuals, I have actually been playing Dungeons and Dragons. I haven't been playing many video games apart from that. And a little bit of Total War Warhammer 2 as well, since that was on a very minor sale of the Steam sale, and that was the excuse I needed to drop about 50 quid on it and its DLC. But yeah, that's about it really for me. Been playing Dungeons and Dragons and regretting not starting it up sooner, to be honest.
I'm going to
I
need you to make
still
a
need to play it.
constitution throw.
Oh, I haven't got my dice with me. Hold on.
A true Dungeons and Dragons player always has their dice with them.
I've got a dice roller. I rolled a
Oh
four.
god. Oh, crap, that's pretty bad. It wasn't even a high DC.
No. I guess I'll just leave. Yeah, that's mainly what I'm doing. It is really, really fun, and I like a lot. I think a lot of people who start Dungeons and Dragons in their late 20s or early 30s or whatever. The prevailing thought I had the entire time I played it was, why didn't I start this when I was sooner? Did I let the whole stupid thing about it being oh for nerds and geeks and weirdos stop me? Now I am a widow. It's fine.
Damn. I never thought of that. My thoughts was always like, I need to find fucking people to play this with.
Me too.
Luckily, a friend of mine recently got very, very obsessed with it and has bought every single book and every single resource. And so basically, I just got him to send me like PDF copies of stuff and things like that. So I've got it all for free. So he's my resource. But yeah, it's
That's
crazy.
a
Sorry.
pretty serious money
Oh yeah, when
commitment
I
to
came
it.
back from
Those
playing
books are
it.
so
When I came
expensive.
back from playing with him, I was like, oh, maybe I'll buy a few of them. And I looked them up on Amazon. I was like, oh, maybe I won't then. But yeah, our first session, we said, oh, we'll play for 3.5 hours. So we planned to play from 6 until 9. We ended up playing until 2:30 in the morning. Yeah, it's crazy.
The physical version of the player's handbook, which is kind of the... If you wanted to buy a book and had never played Dungeons & Dragons before, this is the book you want to buy. It currently sells for $50, or you can get a free PDF from Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
All the core books are free for some reason. They still charge $50 for the actual physical book, but...
Yeah, that's pretty much been it for my week.
Okay, well, I've had a busy week. I've been playing Total Overdose some more for my Total Overdose Diaries. First one of those, it goes up this coming Saturday because the final part of my Metro Diaries was this past Saturday. It's going to be a short one. There's only really 3 or 4 of those because I'm just over halfway through the game now. Most of the side missions, they don't even deserve a full sentence because it's just the same thing over and over. Go here, kill those. Go there, kill those. At least with the main mission, there's something to describe. Other than that, I played Attack on Titan Winds of Freedom for a So I Tried, which went up on the site yesterday, today, one of those, today. this morning, and I've only seen the first, I think, 2 episodes of the anime, and it does a fair job of setting up the universe for the player.
Is it good? Because it's one of those games I've sort of looked at on Steam and I've gone like, maybe, but then it's like £30. I'm like, will I play it for 3 hours and then be like, oh, this is the exact same thing over and over again?
It seems like it's going to be the same thing over and over again. You hop around, attach to a titan, attack its legs, its arms, and then the nape of its neck, and then move on to the next one.
Oh. Well, that solved that for me.
I also been playing Dead or Alive Extreme 3 Venus for a So I Tried, which should be up on the site next week. It's certainly a game.
It got beach volleyball in it.
That's pretty much all it has in it. There's about half a dozen mini games, some blackjack, poker, and roulette, and just relaxing, i.e. watching the Java woman you've chosen in a provocative pose.
Boob physics.
Mobies.
Yeah, but it is a game that knows why you bought it, and it's flaunting there.
I remember years ago when I first got the Xbox, I think it was the Xbox 360, I went into a Blockbuster of all places, and they had Beach Volleyball 3, and just I shouldn't, but I know some sod's gonna buy it. And then a couple of days later, my message saying, oh, I picked up that Beach Volleyball game, Blockbuster. I chuckled. I was like, you weirdo, mate. But it was quite an interesting game. Has it got that one where you have to push each other into the water?
Using your bum.
Yes.
Tug of war, bum fights, and volleyball. There's some rock climbing. But the game kept crashing when I tried twice to go into the rock climbing, and it just crashed both times. Well, I say crashed. It was loading for 5 full minutes. So I reset the console, the Vita, and loaded it back up, went back into rock climbing, and loading for 5 minutes again. So, well, end of my playtime anyway, so...
Yeah. If you enjoy women hitting each other with their bums, there is an anime about that.
Isn't there a professional sport in Japan as well for it?
It's probably a game show. I'm not sure about professional sport.
It is in the eyes of Japan.
Olympics.
Yeah, I think the anime I'm thinking about, I think it's Koji. But yeah, it's this world. It's like professional sport in which everyone hits each other with either their breasts or bums to knock each other into the water. But they all have like weird powers. Like one of them can like basically summon a black hole in her butt. It, yeah, watch it. It's on Crunchyroll.
Still not understand anime.
It was a mistake.
Yeah. God bless it.
So what happens when you drop two atomic bombs on a country?
Oh, God.
Jeez.
I'd expect this from Cal, but not you, Hamiltonius.
What?
Sorry, is it only the Japanese?
Yeah, well, there's bad tourists.
Right, other than those games, I also played a bit of Luminize Electronic Symphony on the Vita, because the original Luminize was like the reason to buy a PSP, and Luminize is being remastered for the Switch. It's either out or coming out, one of those. And that's everything.
Before you jump into the first news post...
Too late.
No, I was going to say, I'm an absolute idiot. I completely forgot. What have I been playing this week? Wolfenstein fucking 2. I somehow completely forgot that I've been playing that. But to keep it short, shooting Nazis is a heck of a lot of fun.
Yep.
Okay. I don't think anyone here can argue with that. Right, our first news piece, Past Cure, was released... couple months ago to, I don't want to say overwhelmingly negative reviews, but that's what Steam says. So developer has completely remade the game and re-released it, or well, patched it at the very least, hoping to deal with the overwhelmingly negative reviews.
I have to be honest, this game can like released without me even knowing. It like never came up on my radar, and this news escaped me as well, to be honest with you, until I read it on the site.
It was released in February, actually. My mistake. It's a horror game where you have like some sort of psychic powers. Our review from Walt was a 3. He did not enjoy his experience with the game. Poor optimization, horrendous voice acting, aimless storytelling and gameplay. And these are just choice quotes. But apparently the community has been involved in this. This, we'll call it a patch, and fair play to Phantom 8, they listened and actually made changes. I'd read some of the patch notes, but there's quite a lot to it, but suffice to say it's got new story elements, new game mechanics and improved graphics. It's the patch is available on PC and coming soon to consoles, Xbox One and PS4. So I take it that no one here picked up Past Cure, or has yet picked it up.
I read our review and decided against it.
Right, our next bit of news involves some DLC for Kingdom Come Deliverance. It's called From the Ashes and involves you being in charge of rebuilding one of the towns that was destroyed by the invading armies. Which is certainly interesting.
So, I haven't played Kingdom Come Deliverance. I'm sorry. It was a game that doesn't really appeal to me. How is this going to work out, this DLC? Like, is it building in the sense of, like, Fallout and Skyrim, in that, like, you go bloop, 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 placing your bits down, or do you, you know, do you put monetary investment into a building and say, right, this ruined building can now be the potion shop, or this can now be the bar? Is there a potion shop in this game?
You are the bailiff in charge of the town. You decide what to build and where.
Okay.
Someone tweeted about it, saying that this person who puts you in charge, he tells you that you have to use your own money, and if it all goes tits up, then it's all your fault and you're going to be punished. And yet it's his fault in the first place that the town was lost.
Sounds like any landlord I've ever met.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I find it interesting that this is something that they thought would work with Kingdom Come as a game, because as I understand it, that when you first start playing the character, he literally can't do anything apart from speak. Everything else needs to be...
Yeah, he can't swim, he can't read, his swordsmanship's really pretty awful. You can fist fight, kind of.
So it seems like this is a very much end game. Oh, you've done everything and have got George, is his name, I think?
Henry.
Henry, yeah, close enough.
Jesus, you've got Henry's come to see us.
Yeah, you've got him up as best as you can. Yeah. It seems like we don't have any extra story, so here is something that will keep you busy.
It's a fairly, it's becoming a bit of a weird cliche when it comes to open world, in air quotes, RPG games. What do? Let them run a town, or build a building, or create a house, that kind of thing. It just seems to be the next logical step of, can't think of DLC, let's let the player run a town.
Well, it's, as you said, Kay, it's a bit strange that this blacksmith is now in charge of an entire township.
I mean, it would have to be, they'd have to be really, really sticking to their authenticity thing if they were like, you turned up and you were like, can I take care of this stone? And then he'd be like, no, you're an ignorant, stupid blacksmith's son who can't do anything. Go away. And then you go and die in a gutter somewhere. The end. Thanks for buying Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Why was he from Somerset?
He's got an accent. I can't remember which accent it is, though.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... It's a common English accent.
I don't think it's common English. It's not exactly received pronunciation, is it?
No.
Is it English? I thought it was supposed to be common English.
I
thought it was supposed to be set in, like, Prague or something, wasn't it?
It is, but the actor is English. There's a lot of English actors in it.
Oh,
I haven't actually played it, so.
No,
I've played some of it. I really need to go back to it, but the performance on it is really awful. I should be able to give it a go on my new PC. Yeah, it's a difficult game.
Yeah, the fighting. Until you get good, literally,
by doing it
again and again, the combat is awful.
And it's rather annoying, like, it's got those little moral choices in it. I think when I last got up to it, I really didn't get far into it, but it's like, I just got to a point where this guy's like saying, oh, this guy's got a wedding ring, I want you to get that ring, like, because he helped save you, basically, and recover you. And he's like, I need you to pay me back. And I was like, I haven't got any money. And he's like, well, go see this bloke, he's stolen some money, or he's got a ring or some sort, go take the ring. You've got to go chat to him. So you can do this sort of choices where you can either, like, steal the item, or you could sort of talk to the guy and find out more and maybe help him and then get it. It's one of those games. But random bandits kept killing me in that.
I played a few hours of it and only met, only came across one roaming pack of bandits. When I say bandits, they were actually soldiers for this invading army. And yet everyone else was complaining, oh, there's bandits everywhere, and I just found it weird that I hadn't encountered any.
But, is it because secretly you were the bandits?
Can't be attacked by bandits if you're the leader of the bandits. Right, our next news piece is the Monster Hunter World PC specifications have been revealed. It's due out on the 9th of August on PC, because it's already out on consoles. And the PC requirements are pretty low. The recommended is an high i3 or a medium i7. The minimum is a mid-range i5.
That's quite surprising, considering it's going to have 4K resolution.
It's not really that surprising. It's Unreal Engine, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's so much more optimized on PC, so you're not going to need much higher spec. Although I heard the performance on the console's really, like, iffy.
And like might be a controversial statement, it's not actually that good a looking game.
It would look better on PC, though.
Burn the Witch.
Speaking about it, like, it's an interesting one because on standard, I played it on PS4. So on standard PS4, you can only run it at essentially whatever setting it gives you, at whatever resolution it gives you, and frame rate. But if you have it on PS4 Pro, you can basically opt to have a higher frame rate for less visual fidelity, or have better visual fidelity and a lower frame rate. But for whatever reason, the loading times, regardless of mode, are better on PlayStation 4 Pro. Whereas on the PS4 standard, the load times are actually quite annoying. But I still put like 60, 70 hours into that game.
And only 40 of those hours was loading time.
I think it's great that it's coming to PC, but I don't think I'll personally be picking it up again, considering I still have tons to do on the console version.
Yeah, it's another one of those games which I struggle with where I played it non-stop and then I stopped playing it, and then I got back to play it because I used to play it with a friend of mine, and then he stopped playing it, and then I was like, well, I'll hop back on Monster Hunter, and I got in and I was like, what was I doing again? Forgotten everything to do with how I took like 2 weeks away from it, and I just forgot how to fight with my weapon, I forgot resources I was looking for, I forgot where in the story I was, and I was like, oh god, maybe I'll just sign off, and I haven't gone back to it since then, which is annoying, really.
I'm going to make a prediction, because I was super interested in getting this on PC, but it's coming out the start of August, and August is going to be the busiest month for me. So I'm just going to forget that it's come out, and then not buy it, and we'll get to the end of the year, and I'll see it on the Game of the Year podcast, and yeah, I just didn't buy it.
And you have to remember as well that there is another Monster Hunter game coming out on Switch later in the year as well, so, you know, those who have already been playing World on console who may not want to get it on PC can probably also pick up the new one on Switch.
That's one of the spin-off ones, isn't it? It's got the subtitle.
Yeah, it's a port of a 3DS one. Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's the one, but it's a slightly more action-paced Monster Hunter, but it should be pretty good. Oh god. God damn it!
I was about to say, let's just check in with how you're doing in the game, Nikki.
Not very well.
Every time I go to look at the stream, you have just died.
It's been quite impressive. Stop looking at the stream.
Yeah, I'm having a few issues. I think I am actually lagging a tiny bit as well. Yeah, we'll go with that.
That's right. Blame your connection.
Stupid servers.
Right, our last news piece is kind of a bit of a talking point. There was a bit of a brouhaha online when one of the writers of Guild Wars 2 was tweeted at by a Twitch streamer who's YouTuber who's fairly prominent in the Guild Wars 2 community. They basically got into a bit of an argument because this YouTuber was telling her how to do her job, or suggesting things how to, but basically he was telling her how to write branching dialogue, and she took up exception to this because she's a writer. She, I'd assume, knows how to write branching dialogue.
No, from what I read, he wasn't, like, she's making it sound as though he was condescending and, like, trying to say, oh, this is how you do it. But all he did, like, she put on this long sort of tweet, like, multiple tweet posts, you know, spinning, talking about story arcs and story writing, and a popular Guild Wars YouTuber, Twitch streamer, whatever, said, great thing, but I just got a tiny little thing, just a tiny little criticism, you know, I hope you don't mind. He was very, like nastily.
It wasn't quite like that. He basically described the basis system that exists in Guild Wars as that was his idea, that was what he presented to her, the thing that she helped make, and presented it as his own thing. That
so
was
I missed
why
that.
She...
I'm just going to grab some popcorn.
Yeah, that was what she sort of took.
The thing is, it's not that kind of frustrated, or, well, not say frustrated, but kind of make go, really, it's the fact that she, out of her own doing in a way that kind of brought it on herself. Because, yes, I can understand that she had her frustrating moments. There would be a lot of times where she does get, you understand that, you know. But the way she handled it, and the fact that this was my private or my space or my open area, you're on Twitter, it's a public forum. If it was a private tweet or it was thing just for your followers only, you know, entirely private, understandable. But the fact that she's posted out there, open to the world, you're going to get people who are going to criticize it, or you're going to get people who are going to make responses or have their own input or feedback. They're not doing it in a nasty way. In some people, they're just trying to start a discussion, a contribute to the conversation.
Let me throw a counter-argument in here. Something that's worth bearing in mind of a lot of these games, and not just Guild Wars 2, a lot of these games, is the fact that a lot of developers have to deal... Because you are right, like, it was a public tour, so, you know, fair enough. You know, he wasn't exactly the best when it came to structuring his constructive criticism, but the thing to bear in mind here is that these people, developers, it's not just tweets, it's emails, it's forums, it's Reddits, it's 20-minute long videos, day after day after day. You know, people kind of, I'm not saying that, you know, your argument here, I'm just saying in general that people kind of forget that the people making these games, that, you know, community managers and stuff, they're actually human. And it gets to a point where, you know, yeah, you've taken a lot of shit. And for all we know, you know, that could have happened right after she's just had to deal with so much crap on Reddit or a forum. But yeah, like, what we see is a single moment, but it's a continuous stream. And, like, if you look into, like, I mean, take Sea of Thieves, for example, when that first came out, the Reddit was the most toxic place in the world. Now it's much better. But, gamers are, as a community, pardon my burping there, they're quite rude.
I totally agree on. Yeah.
It's also to take into account this only happened because she was a woman. And I say that in the sense that there are so many people in similar situations to her, and they just dunk on people on Twitter constantly. That's literally all they use Twitter for, that's taking the piss out of the people who play their game, and none of them get in trouble for it. But just because it was her, because she is slightly an easy target, effectively, because she is known for saying things on Twitter that aren't necessarily, I was going to say groupthink, the kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, she says things that are not necessarily...
Not the
zeitgeist. Yeah. But, yeah. I have no idea how I was going to end
always,
that sentence.
It's as soon as I saw the story in the lineup, I was like, oh boy, mm-hmm. here we go. Because it has all the powder keg stuff in there. I mean, I looked it up at lunch today, by trying to find it on Reddit, and the top three posts were from Kotaku in action. So that says all you need to know about it. But
pretty much, yeah.
That it's something that gets jumped on. Yeah, it's like Candy said. I agree completely. Had this been a male writer dumping on a community person, it likely would have been a bit of at worst a rap on the knuckles, or maybe be careful about what you post on Twitter. But, and even instead, from the community itself would probably be like, you're a bit of a dick, and then that'd be it. But yeah, instead it is
sad. Yeah, it is sad to see that the situation escalate that far because of her gender, and that's what makes it very sad to see from the community and the responses from it.
We should probably actually just state, for those who are listening who don't know what we're getting at, this escalated into ArenaNet, the developer of obviously Guild Wars 2, firing this woman
and
another writer who defended her. So
he didn't even necessarily defend her, he just said that he as a man never received the treatment she currently was. That was his only input into the thing, and they fired him as well in the same discussion.
It's crazy, because there was also a similar thing going on with the narrative designer of Arcane Studios, I think. She had a big thing over the weekend where she basically was schooling some random person who decided to say that narrative design wasn't game development. But in just to show the complete opposite, like people were like atting Arcane, being like, oh, I'm not going to buy your games unless you fire this person. And people from Arcane were like, okay, don't buy the games, we don't care.
I mean, this is the thing, is like the aftermath of all of this is, to kind of jump forward a bit, is you now have a community which is now in a position where they have actually openly said, and you can find this on Reddit and it's absolutely disgusting, they are now able to control the company because they can kick up enough of a storm that eventually a staff member will snap, say something. They'll probably then get into shit, and then the community can turn around and say, oh, you need to fire this person. And ArenaNet have proven that they are a spineless, idiot with no backbone who doesn't actually care about their staff. And again, this has happened because she was a woman. That is the crux of it. Because she is female, this is what has happened, and it is absolutely disgusting that ArenaNet, without any sort of proper, like, look into it, they just immediately were like, you're fired. But if we jump back a bit, I saw some tweets from someone saying how something happened at Rebellion a few years ago, Rebellion, the UK-based studio, and a developer left a really nasty comment in response to someone criticizing one of their games on YouTube. Rebellion's response, delete the comment, basically have a word with that developer saying, don't do that again, and then just publicly say, sorry about that. Was he fired? No.
I think the worst, at the end of it, ArenaNet, I've gone the wrong way about it, to be honest with you. I don't think firing them was the right thing. Absolutely not, because, the amount of shit they would have to deal with and put up with. As I said, reading some of the stuff about it, the way that she has to, like the way she described it as well, as like a smile when they punch you in the face sort of thing. It is that, you're in a burning room and you're sat there saying, this is fine. ArenaNet is basically saying, you put up with that shit. We just care about the players. We just care about keeping our community good. You deal with it. And the ArenaNet, the way they did it was totally wrong.
At the end of the day, I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'm going to have one hand on the middle of the fence and say, her, like we said, her reaction was maybe a little bit disproportionate, but it's definitely wasn't worth the reaction. Essentially, that's the end of the day. And yeah, it's crazy that this is the reaction they've had. But I mean, you know, this is probably the first publicity Guild Wars 2 has had in a while, so.
And it'll probably be the last, considering how many members of staff are now leaving. A lot of people have... Because the thing is now, if people at ArenaNet now have to be careful. They now have to sort of hold their cards to their chest, as it were, because they could sneeze and be fucking fired. You know, and I've heard through the grapevine, knowing a few people, that there's a lot of people that are literally getting their resumes up to speed, and they're going to sort of just walk out because they're like, no, fuck this, I don't want to work for a company that's not going to have our back. And again, had this individual, I don't know, started like a fucking lynch group to be like, this person said mean things about me and my game, go brrr, like that sort of thing, you know, escalating the situation, anything like that, yeah, okay, fair enough, jump right on that. But what actually happened, it's like ArenaNet, you done goofed. And your community has proven, again, it's not the majority, has proven that they are a toxic bunch of wankers, to be honest with you.
I mean, I'm surprised something like this hasn't come from, like, Destiny 2. The last shit I've seen from this Destiny 2 Reddit and the community's, like, always bitching and shouting at Bungie for what... Well, what the problem with Destiny 2 is.
Well, it comes down to what we were saying. It comes down to what we were just saying. This is, most other companies don't deal with this situation in this way. This is a really weird way of dealing with it.
It is, and it's kind of like they're trying to sweep it under the rug almost. You know, Marina just said they've been terminated. That's it. There's like, no, have they released any press release or any statement explaining the situation? All they've been said is, yeah, they've been terminated.
Yeah.
Or they don't abide to what they've said.
It's given another it stoked the fire of games development should have a union. That's been rumbling over the last few years, and this is another instance of that coming to light, because if they were represented by a union, and this would not have happened.
I also want to just throw a curveball in as well. This happened in America. I wonder how the situation would have happened in, say, the UK, where employers' rights are slightly different. You know, because obviously, I'm not, you know, I don't know all them in and out, but...
We've got unfair dismissal and tribunals. Yeah. And I think America has a match to cover in.
I mean, she could sue. Yeah. Both of them could sue, but it's a question of, well, depending on how their contracts are written, they probably don't have any rights.
It depends on, like, I'd have to steal from UK law, but it basically, I don't know what the US equivalent is, but if it can be proven that what they did was gross misconduct or the US equivalent of that, you know, that they're what they did brought potential commercial harm to the company, then it's justified, usually. But I don't necessarily think what they've done is actually commercially bad, like... Could make them actually lose money?
If anything, ArenaNet have shot themselves in the foot.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect that they won't have any legal standpoint there because their contracts would have been at will, which means that the employer has the right to just terminate for whatever reason.
America's fun.
Yeah, it's usually a case of, like, you work for us as long as we tell you to work for us.
All right, let's end the podcast on a positive note. Game of the year!
No!
Yes, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes going through Game of the Year.
Ah, it's December already. No, it's in July.
It's the Game of the Year so far. What which games do you think you're going to be still pumped about come December time?
Pumped about, Christ. Didn't realise it was going to be Game of the Year gone sexual. God of War.
Right, we'll start with Hamiltonius.
God of War?
So God of War is the one we've got to vote against at the end of the year, guys.
That's basically what we're
going to do. Okay, let's... Nikki, while you're streaming, do you have any
stressing over like ah? Gosh, I was trying to think earlier, like what games have come out so far this year. I think two that I would put forward are definitely Monster Hunter World, because brilliant game, spent a lot of time in it. I would have to say Mario Odyssey. I think that came out this year.
Came out last year.
We had
okay,
it.
Okay, forget Mario Odyssey.
Game of the year last year.
Yep.
Okay. Oh my god, yeah, like think back, Nick, what's come out recently that you've played and you've enjoyed and you would want to recommend for Game of the Year?
Every game you've liked came out last year.
Yeah. The problem is, I mean, like Wolfenstein 2, I bought that at the Steam sale. I have this really bad habit of being super excited for games and wanting to play them day one, but then not getting them because there's just so many games. So I joined the party really late, and I'm like that one friend in the room that's like, guys, anyone?
We'll
Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves. There you go. That's mine.
Okay, Cal, what about you?
I'm actually just taking a look over games released this year just to try and think. It's like I've mostly done my backlog. I was going to say like Hellblade, but then I realised Hellblade came out last year, and I've only just recently finished that.
And it was in the game.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I really enjoyed that game. I really did.
Would you people stop choosing last year's game of the year?
Do you want me to go? I've got a list of games and I double checked that they came out this year. I came prepared.
If I still had a PS4, then I might be with Alex and say God of War.
Okay, yeah, Katty, what have you got?
A Way Out. Me and Cal played that earlier this year and loved it.
Oh yeah. I enjoy that.
I'm going to disagree with you, but go on.
I don't think we have time for disagreement.
No, this isn't. We're not debating it. Farlow Sales.
You die on Katty.
Yeah, I know, it's so bad already. Farlow and Sales probably will be my personal game of the year unless something else comes. That game was so good I played it twice through straight away. Alex mentioned earlier Vermintide 2 did come out this year. That one, if they release the maps that they've said they'll release, then that might stay there. If the game stays as it is now, I can see another game taking its spot.
So I enjoyed Vermintide 2 as much as we played it together, but I don't see it being a game on my list of Game of the Year. I just thought it was a fun game.
I still kind of, not regularly, but every couple of weeks, just jump back in and play a round on my own, and it's alright. And Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery, not because it's a good game, but because it's the game I've played the most this year. And by played, I mean it's the game I've probably played consistently over like time. Not hours actually played, but I'm still playing it since launch, which was like 4 months ago.
Because you've pumped so much money into it, and it's the sunk cost fallacy.
Oh, if I could only use that as a legitimate reason.
Personally, I've got Kingdom Come Deliverance. That's for a small studio, it's quite an accomplishment. There's a lot of skill, as we were discussing earlier. You need to get good at everything, so that's quite an interesting mechanic, that you're not a one-man warrior right out of the gate. I've also got Pizza Titan Ultra, which is my personal game of the year, because it is fantastic fun.
Yeah, I still need to pick that up.
I apologise for the bitrate dropping. Also, hello Lost Panther, welcome to the stream.
Unfortunate time to join the stream, really.
Yeah.
Well, I'll still be going for another hour, so. Hey, Lost Panther, thank you for the follow.
I keep closing it for some reason. There we go.
I tell you, no one else has thought of any games, other games that came out this year.
Ooh! Far Cry 5. That did come out this year, yes?
Yes.
I recently finished that. I enjoyed that, although it did have a bit of a what-the-fuck ending.
And I was going to say, as long as you put it in for gameplay reasons, not story.
Yeah, I hoped, because of the, when it was, all the pre-release stuff was very showing off, saying, oh, listen, you know, the especially with the America at the moment, and there's all faith and religious malarkey behind it. I thought it might be a bit like Red State, you know, the Kevin Smith movie, which was quite good, but it kind of just ended quite flat, and I was like, And the one thing I didn't like about it as well, like, I like to do the side missions before tackling the main story stuff, because there's loads of bloody collectibles, as you do with Far Cry and Ubisoft games. But it had this, like, you do resistant points, and, like, it automatically sort of makes you do the story mission, and that kind of peeved me off sometimes. Overall, an enjoyable game, typical Far Cry, but still not as good as 3.
Which, Far Cry 3 Classic is out on consoles now.
I suppose you can consider that as a game of the year then. For those who are on PS4 and Xbox One who've never played Far Cry 3, that could be your game of the year, because that's a far superior game. Even when down to the villain, like Vass was fantastic.
Yes, but if it did go into the game of the year, wouldn't that be the definition of insanity?
Ooh. Ooh. See what you did there.
Don't boo yourself. Right, well, we've seemed to have reached the end of what we're going to talk about, so might as well wrap us up there. If you're watching the stream, then please continue to do so, because Nicky will carry on in Insurgency, or have enough of dying. And
yeah, I might switch to something else in a minute.
If you're listening to the podcast on your devices, or device singular, I suppose, thank you for listening. And thank you to Cal, Hamiltonius, Nikki and Katty for joining me. Please make sure to check out GameGreen.com for gaming news, reviews and articles, including stuff we've talked about on this very podcast. You can tweet to us on Twitter at Greencast, and find GameGreen on Facebook and Twitter. Also check out our YouTube channel, and remember to check out our Twitch stream from 8 PM UK time every single day. Or at least most days. You can find this very podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or GameGreen.com. And while you're at it, game on.